Okay, we'll see. I'd like to thank Rabbi Orlian again for inviting me to share some Minyanei Halacha as a Shem this week and next week of Olei Lotova. Hopefully at the end of the Shir, if we can stay here for Mincha, probably go over a little bit. Rabbi Arieli would want to daven for the Omelet. He usually davens in my regular Shir, so I told him to come here. So those that could stay here for Mincha, that would be a good chesed to help with the minyan for Rabbi Arieli. I was just visiting somebody in the nursing home, Fort Troy Nursing Home. The name is Rabbi Teichner. He's the brother-in-law of Rav Gedalia Felder. So we have, he's a big Talmud Chacham, and he's here in the nursing home. And so I go to visit him. So I said, you know, today I'm saying a shiur on mezuzah. So the first thing he said, you know, are you going to say over the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel? So I said, okay, if you want me to, I'll say it over. Right, the pasuk in Mi Aisha Shabana Bayit V'lo Chanocho Yelech V'yoshev L'beiso. That a person who built the house, these psukim in Shoftim about those that are potter from the Milchama. So a person who is Bona Bayis V'lo Chanocho, Chanukah is coming up. So Pashup Shah Lo Chanocho means he didn't inaugurate the house. He didn't live in the house. He didn't inaugurate the house. So therefore we're afraid he's gonna go to Muhammad, someone else will come into the house and take over his house. So he has to be in the so he has the right to live in his house a little bit. And even though it means that he can come back from the milchama, he could go ahead and come back. That's the simple pshat. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says Mi Aisha Shabana Bayis V'lo Chanocho means that he wasn't koveya a mezuzah on the house, and therefore he should. So he should come back and put up the mezuzah. It's interesting. I came across this year. I always have to say chidushim because Rabbi Orlian hears the shiur every year, so I feel bad. I shouldn't just say the same things I say every year. So there has to be a davish and a chadish. So the Shem Yishmuel says over. An interesting idea. He says that the Maral Miprag says whenever you build something, the Maral Miprag says that the Midas Hadin is Sholit. Because when you build something, by definition, you're making specific borders. Adkan v'sulo. It's defined, a defined area. That's Simtzum, that's Din. Rachamim is something that doesn't have any gvul. That's why the Mefarshim write that Torah Shebichsav is Midas Hadin. Shechta said this over in Rosh, that Torah Shebichsav is Midas Hadin, because it's finite. Torah Shebalpeh is Midas Harachamim, because it's part of a Rava. And that's what the Rabbeinu Bachaya says in Parshas Bo, that the Pasuk Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor means that when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, he gave him the Dibur, the Torah Shebichsav. It's Lashon Kasha, it's finite, specific osios. You can't make it more, you can't make it less. And then Leimor is the Midas HaRachamim, is the Torah Sheval Peh. Because the Torah Sheval Peh is not finite. The Torah Sheval Peh is par of a Rava. So whenever there's tzimtzum, that by definition is the midas hadin is shoylet. So that's what the Shem Yishmuel says. That's why whenever you make you build a house, so you have a chanukas habayis, and you invite people in because you have to offset the din with chesed, and then you invite people over, and the huadin you put up a mezuzah because the shakai, the shmira, the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to offset the din. So that's the so he has a whole arichas about that. I'll have to tell you which parsha it is. It was not too long ago because I said it over in my parsha shir not too long ago. So I'll let you know which parsha it is. So mezuzah is interesting. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very into the idea that if a tragedy happens, you should, you know, check the mezuzahs. You know, some people are into if there's a problem with Shalom Bayis, then check the ksuba. You know, but check the mezuzahs. So what's this idea? So the Gemara tells us in Psachim Adav Dalet that mezuzah is chovas hadar. Kiva mezuzah is for a person who lives in the. In other words, if you have a question of a socher and maskir, who puts up the mezuzah? So the maskir owns the house, but the socher is living there, so he needs the protection. So that's the Gemara in Daf Dalet and Masechet Pesachim, and the Rashi there writes that because mezuzah is shomer, and that's shomer the person. So b'meila, the person who needs shmira is the person who's living in the house. And the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Mezuzah talks about the mezuzah being those are the malachim that are being shomer. So there is a concept that you know that we find by mezuzah being a shmira that we don't necessarily see by other mitzvahs. Every mitzvah, in a certain sense, is a shmira. Torah is a mishamer, mitzvah is a mishamer, but we see that that special idea. I mean, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that that Unkelus, when they were taking Unkelus out, he said, you know, look at the difference between our king, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and everyone else. Everyone else, if you have to move to the White House, if for some reason you have a reason to move to the White House because you won an election and you moved to the White House, so you're going to be living inside in the, you know, Kodesh Shanima, you know, there, and they're going to be all these people being shomer you mi bachutz, but the melech, he's inside. And he says, but you see, he says, Uncle Asag, to the people, that that when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he lets us go in the house, and he stays outside representing the mezuzah and does the shmir for us. So that's another source that's of, you know, mezuzah being a shmira. I don't know ksuba being a shmira so much, but I mean you have to have a proper ksuba. But you know, sometimes people you know, but so you do have this this notion. So therefore, mezuzah is a chovas hadar. So you have to live there. If you don't live there, you're not chayiv in mezuzah. And the halachas of mezuzah are based on this notion that that the mezuzah is a place that people live in. So therefore, if one basic halacha that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah Dav Gimel, you can look at page 2, that there has to be a shear of dira, of a bais. So you could say this is a mokum dira. It's not dalad al dalad. It's not considered a mokum dira, but this fits into the whole discussion that the mezuzah is shomer, and it's on. It has to be a mokum dira. So if it's not dalad al dalad, it is Potter min ha mezuzah. The Rishonim claim that there's a machlokas. The Rishonim and the Poskim claim that there's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam. Say Rav Moshe Feinstein says Arba Amos is like 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Rav Chaim Noah, 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches. You know, Rav Chaim Noah is always the smallest shear. Even though you should know, Rav Michal Shurkin writes in his Sefer Megid Givas Olam that when Rav Chaim Noah's shiurim came out in Yerushalayim, he was known to be the machmer. Everything in life is relative. You know, he's a machmer klapei who? You know, who's the right, who's the left, who's the middle? Everyone's always confused. You know, everything is relative. You think he's the right, but he's the left compared to somebody else. So, you know, so his shiurim were considered more machmer. Then the Chazon Ish, his shiurim. So then it became, you know, everything, you know. But at that point, the Chazon Ish was an unknown entity in the world. Chazon Ish was Nechbal HaKelim. He was a very private person. The first time he did something public was when he came out with the psak that you should keep, in Japan, you should keep Shabbos on Sunday, and you should keep... And this year, Yom Kippur fell out on Wednesday, and he told the people that they should eat on Wednesday and fast on Thursday, where no one else held that way. And that was like his... there's Professor Brown, he wrote a doctorate on the Chazon Ish. So he claims that that was the time that the Chazon Ish had a public, you know, came out into the public. Because the Chazon Ish was an unknown entity. He was tucked away in Vilna, just learning. And even when he came... Even when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was unknown. I remember I just paid a shiva call to Rabbi David Eliach, the principal of Yeshiva Flapish, who lost his wife, the late Yaffa Eliach. So I was there, I happened to be there. Rabbi Willig was there at the same time. So we were talking about the Chazon Ish. So first he says he said he was in Eretz Yisrael, I guess in Bnei Brak at the time. And he heard that there's somebody coming, some special person's coming, even though he wasn't so well known. And he said, I was an 11-year-old kid. So I was curious, he said. Sakran. I was a curious kid. I want to see who this man is that they're talking about. So he went in to the house, and he saw a man laying in bed with a Gemara. So as an 11-year-old, depends who the 11-year-old is, goes over to him and says, I don't understand. My father learns Gemara, but he sits at a table. And my my Rebbe learns Gemara. So the Chazon Ish said to him, you know, I'm a sickly man. And I can't, you know, I'm in pain. And I have to lay on the bed. But that doesn't exempt me from learning Torah. Rabbi Alex said he's used that in many graduations speeches, this story. But he said another story, that the Chazon Ish was in a Beis Medrash someplace, and he didn't wear a rabbinic garb, you know, like not even this type of hat, you know. The hat like a balabas with, somebody came over to him and didn't know who he was, obviously. He said, you know, this is not for balabatim here. And he got up and left. The Chazon Ish was very was a very also Rav Goldberg, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne. Those unfortunately didn't get to know him. The younger generation, he's already passed away like 22 years ago. Some of you were first getting born at that time. So, but he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. Dr. Mordechai Cohen told me that he said over that Chazon Ish had stage fright. He never, and that was confirmed in the art scroll of Rebbetzin Kanievsky book, where it says that Rav Chaim Kanievsky's chasana, he asked not to get a kibbutz. I mean, Chazon Ish, the Gadol Hador, and his nephew was getting married. He asked not to get a kibbutz. Because he didn't do anything in public, not to get a kibbutz. So who was the Masada Kedushin for Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Any clue? Rav Reuven Katz. Who was Rav Reuven Katz? Degel Reuven. His son, Rav Michal Katz, was a Rebbe here, Rav Shiva here for like 50 years in YU. Again, also before most of your times. And his father was the there's the Rosh Hashiva, the Lamji Yeshiva, that's where Rav Chaim Kanievsky learned, in the Lamji Yeshiva. And he was, so that was his Rebbe. He was a Masada Kedushin. So the Chazon Ish has long, getting back now to Mezuzah. But I tell you, this is important because I feel like in this generation, I'll tell you why, that people are very narrow in their knowledge of the Torah world. And the knowledge of, you know, people have their Rebbeim, it's very important, but you should realize that whatever you have is a vast Torah world presently, and a vast Torah world from generations, that you shouldn't be a narrow person. Some people, I follow this posek, this is, and that's not good on what anyone else says, and so it's a very narrow, I see this here, in this generation. It's important to try to train Talmidim to have some breadth and knowledge of Torah. So the Chazon Ish, so Reb Chaim Noah say 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches.
Seven.
Reb Moshe, and the Reb Moshe 7 feet 3 inches, and Reb Chaim Noah is like a foot less. So the question is, what if it's 8 by 2? What if it's 8 by 2? 8 by 2. So that's 16 square, right? Square amos. So does that count, or do you daska need? So classically, people claim, not just some people. I mean, the Rush claims this, and the Shach claims this, and not just some balabas who's thrown out of the, not just some, maybe Chazon Ish. We'll see in a second. So the Rush is the one who officially says it has to be 4 by 4, and the Rambam says it even 8 by 2. And that's what the Shach writes as well. But if you look, the Taz says that the whole world got it wrong. The Taz in Hilchas Sukkah. The Taz in Hilchas Sukkah says that there's no such thing. Page 6 here, you can see the Taz. Timihani harbe oksus einayim shir isi l'rabboseinu b'zeh. He says, he thinks that we all got it wrong. Because if you look in the Rambam, he doesn't say that. Because the Rambam's the one, because the Rambam says, im yesh bo kedei l'rabeya. So some awful Peter Chloman here Arko Yeser al Rachbo. So people read Halacha Beis to say that 8 by 2 is good, but if you look carefully, he doesn't say that, as the Taz points out. All he says is that if you have to be able to inscribe a square that's 4 by 4, but he doesn't say that if it's 8 by 2 is good. If I can't, 8 by 2 is no good according to the Rambam also. If you look carefully. The Rambam never said that. That's what the Taz claims, and the Chazon Ish supports this Taz, that if it's not Dalad al Dalad, so then you don't need to put a mezuzah and Dalad by Dalad. So what's the Chiddush of Kedei L'Rabeya? Because in other words, you think, well, why, in other words, if the Rambam's telling me 8 by 2 is good, then that's a Chiddush. But if he's just telling you, if you have a room that's not a square, I need to be able to inscribe a square in it. So why is that a Chiddush? What's the Chiddush of that? So Rav Yitzchak Abadi in his Tshuvos Or Yitzchak writes, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Negoim, the Rambam says that for a bias to be a bias for Hilchas Tumas Tzaras, it can't be a circular room. So that's the Chiddush. In other words, even if it's a circular room, it's still chayav a mezuzah as long as you can inscribe dalad al dalad. But if it's 8 by 2, so you can't even inscribe a square that's dalad by dalad, then not. By the way, if you want to see a lot of these things I've been saying over today, then, except for the stories, is found in a recent article that I wrote in Beis Yitzchak on Kfiyas Mezuzah. Maybe we should Xerox it and give it out, whatever. But like a year, like last year, within the last recent year or two. So Rabosai, so what do we do now? What do we do if we have a room that's not dalet al dalet? Now, if you live in Washington Heights, that's a very common occurrence. You know, you have small rooms, small, you know, sometimes people ask me to come to more illustrious, wealthier neighborhoods. And you have big houses that are, that they have 15 rooms that are, you know, but people come, ask me to come here in the Heights, because you can find one room that you can make a bracha on. Koshi. Because look, you walk into the room, the first room you walk into an apartment, like my apartment in the Heights. So you walk into a little alcove there. It's not dalet al dalet, not dalet al dalet, till the next Tzuras HaPesach comes. So between the opening of my apartment door till the next Tzuras HaPesach is not dalet al dalet. So what do you mean to tell me? I shouldn't put a mezuzah on my front door. Is that what you mean to tell me? So the minhag olam is to put the mezuzah on the front door, because a lot of times, even in wealthy neighborhoods or more, you know, advanced neighborhoods, you can come into a big house and it's not dalet al dalet. They have a little foyer there, and then there's another door, and then you come into a bigger room. So it's a rachmanis on the mishulachim, if they wouldn't be mezuzahs, they wouldn't know who to go to, right? Be rachmanis on the mishulachim. So the ma'aseh, the minhag olam, is to put the mezuzah. So we follow the opinion. There's an opinion of the Chamudei Daniel. Now, there's many parts to the Chamudei Daniel. See, what's difficult about the Chamudei Daniel, the Chamudei Daniel is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuvi on page 5. It's Chamudei Daniel Chof Yud. What does Chof Yud mean? Savyad. So, we don't really fully have it. I mean, Nachum Butler was nice enough to buy me a Chamudei, the printing of the Chamudei Daniel, when they printed some of the Ksavyad. They actually printed it not too long ago, so he bought it. But in the Ksavyad, he makes reference to some other thing that he wrote, but it gives a little bit of a clarification. So he says two things. One thing he says, speaks about Beis Shar, that if something is a Beis Shar, meaning it's leading into something else, it's not a room that you spend time in to live in. It's a ma'var, as we say in Hebrew. It's a passageway. So he wants to say that all Beis Shar, by definition, do not need dalet al dalet. Because the whole point of dalet al dalet, we said before, mezuzah, like the Gemara says in Pesach, it's chovas hadar. So this is part of my living experience, is that I have a room that I pass through to get to the place where I really spend time, where I have a suda in, where I go to sleep in, and so that's chiddush, that a Beis Shar doesn't need to be dalet al dalet. Okay? So that's, as Rav Aaron Feldman's from Neri Yisrael, his son, wrote a sefer on Yoni Mezuzah. So he writes that became the minhag olam, which is, you know, the reality. That became the minhag olam. Could be it became the minhag olam because people don't really know the halacha, whether it should or should not. But it came the minhag olam because, like, pasnished, you know, I'm not going to have a mezuzah on my front door. So, okay, maybe minhag, you know, people didn't know, but so they were mechaving to this notion whether they knew it or they didn't know it, or whatever it is. If you're a purist, like Rav Yitzchak Abadi in his old house in Lakewood, when he lived there the first machzor, so he had a house that had a little chamber in the front, and then you go into the bigger parts. So he didn't put a mezuzah on the front door because he's a purist. Dalet al dalet. There's no exceptions to the rule. Dalet al dalet. In the new house that he lives now in Lakewood, that the front door opens up into a big room, so that he has on the front door. But the Minhag Olam, the people put the mezuzah on the front door, because even if it's not a room of Dalet al dalet, it's a Beis Shaar, and they put up. Yeah, someone had a question. Yeah.
Is the idea that like the shear of Dalet al dalet is only shivas for Dira, and like the what he said, like Gina and your Pesa and whatever, like,
yeah, so that,
gets
yeah.
Dumb Hashiva, so
yeah, like, so we'll get to that. So that's one thing he says. Yeah, I'm gonna get to that in a second. Yeah.
Even though that's the minute that was Pashat, do we now make a bracha though?
Yeah, so I don't encourage people to make a bracha there because it's not, yeah, it's not a bracha, so you find another. I mean, a person has a big house. Well, you know, we'll have plenty of rooms that have dalet al dalet that he can make a bracha. Here in the Heights, there could be sometimes there could be a problem, but usually the bedroom has the dalet al dalet. Even though that's a question we'll talk about shortly. Oh, so the Chabad Neil says that, but he says another chiddush, that he says that even if you have a small room, so that's the second chiddush. But one chiddush is that the Beis Shaar doesn't need dalet al dalet, and the other chiddush is if you have what we would call today a closet. Closet that's not dalet al dalet. Many of our closets are not dalet al dalet. So the Michas Yitzchak points out there are two types of closets. There's one closet that you just put your hands in. So there's no knisa. You just put your hands in. So that's not chayav and mezuzah according to any opinion. But what we call a walk-in closet means I walk into the closet because it has a little depth to it. Even though a lot of the walk-in closets, at least in this neighborhood, don't have dalet al dalet according to any opinion of dalet al dalet, even the most small shear of dalet al dalet we don't even have. But you walk in, so the Chamud Yenil says that you put a mezuzah also. So what's the svara? So if Chaim Kalman Gutman once pointed out to me the Rashash in Sukkah and Dav Gimel says, based on the Gemara in Erevin, Chazi Lemilse, that if something is roy for its use, so as we said before, dalet al dalet is the shear of dira. So if I'm going to live in a room that's dalet al dalet, or less than dalet al dalet, then I won't be able to survive. And if you can find some eccentric person who will do that, you know, batla daito. But it's not, you know, the Torah was given of the normal people, what normal people do in normal situations. So it's not a makom dira. I can't live if it's not dalet al dalet. But one second. But if I need a closet, you know, so, you know, my room is not dalet al dalet, but the shirts didn't complain and the shoes don't complain. And everyone's happy. And it's functional, and it does what it needs to do. And so that's called... So if you are a purist, and you say, no, dalet al dalet is a shear. That's the way the Koveh is shear. So it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, it's for the clothing or for you. It's a chiddush. Both parts are a chiddush. So some people, like Rabbi Tuchman, who I was just in his house in Passaic the other week, so he follows the part of the Chamud Daniel of the Beis Shaar, but on something that's not dalet al dalet, I think from Rabbi Dovid or Reuven Feinstein, that he doesn't put on because This is a shir. And Beishar, but there's one, that's what Rabbi Feldman's son writes also, that the minhag definitely became by the Beishar, but not necessarily by the what? By the Chadar of Ketanim. Yeah, what were you saying?
The Yisod and the Rishash, I think, is mashma here in the Pesach Shavuot, the near Dafka of Estira,
right, that's how he explains. Okay.
If a person has a closet that is Dalad, but part of that Dalad is shelving, that's coming out of the wall. So do we look at the airspace?
Yeah, the airspace. In other words, if something is Kavua, Bakarka.
Right under the wall is the shelf coming out.
And it's built in.
To the
right, so that's hochis. But if something that's movable, then the post is in that hochis. Oh. Now, there is a famous Rabbi Kiva Eiger. It's famous in the world. I'd say it became famous because of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish made it famous. And he says a new idea, also a novel idea. Both things, Chamudin Neil is a novel idea, and the Rebbe Kiva Eiger is a novel idea. Rebbe Kiva Eiger is of the opinion, the way this is, I'll tell it over the way the Olam says it, and then not everyone agrees that that's the pshat in Rebbe Kiva Eiger. But the way the Olam says over the Rebbe Kiva Eiger is whenever you have a small closet or something like that. So it's not Dalad Dalad, so it's not Chayiv and Mezuzah, and it's not a Beishar, and he doesn't hold from the Chamud and the Neil. So you'd ask me, if you don't hold Chamud and the Neil, I say, you're Potter. So he says, no. You have to put it on the right side, going from the closet back into the room. In other words, say you have a room that's a big room, and in your room you have this walk-in closet. So the walk-in closet is not Dalad Dalad. It's not chayv mezuzah, and if you don't hold from the Neil, so that's not chayv. So it's not chayv. So what should you do? So you should put the mezuzah on the right side, going back into the room. So because then there's a knisa to that to the cheder that it's part of. So that's what some people do. Some people are very into this. Chazon Ish was into it. Some people are very into this. Rebbe Kiva Eiger. I am not from the people that are into this Rebbe Kiva Eiger. I'll explain to you why. But there are many rabbanim that are into this. I don't know, Rebbe Kiva Eiger, if that's what he says. At least these people think that's what he says. Yeah.
The closet is not leading to anywhere. Like the fact there's a shuas and pesach.
Well, the closet is going to be adjacent to another room. Say, like a bedroom, right? So you have a closet in the bedroom. So when you walk it into the closet, you walk into then you walk back from the closet into the bedroom.
Rebbe, so one, because maybe they can't be considered part of the bedroom, because it's just
a Pesach? Yeah, so it's a separate room. Because it's own Surah Pesach. So, I'll tell you, the reason I think that it's shver, this Rebbe Kiva Eiger, and there's a question whether what he really meant, we'll say that in a second, but let's assume he means what people think he means. It's that, to me, this Rebbe Kiva Eiger goes against, or this version of Rebbe Kiva Eiger goes against the Yisod of Hilchas Mezuzah, all the Yisodos of Hilchas Mezuzah, the Ainu. You see, one Yisod in Hilchas Mezuzah is you have this room here, this room we're in now. So there's a mezuzah here, right? Coming in. So why don't we put another mezuzah on the other side? We're going into the hallway. So I have two mezuzahs. One mezuzah going in to this room. Another mezuzah going into the hallway. So, lo matzinu dover kazeh. Why? Because the fundamental yisod in Hilchas Mezuzah is Saftav al mezuzos beisecha, the Gemara darshins derech bioscha, that mezuzah is only on entrance. Mezuzah is only on entrance, not on exit. The chiyuv mezuzah is entering. So, al korcha, you have to say that the first hiluch into a makom is called the knisa. When you go out, the backtracking, you don't say, that's a knisa into the hallway. I got here through the hallway. I came in the room. Now, I'm going, the shir is going to be over, I'm going to go out. So, you don't say, there's a knisa now into the hallway. No, you call it a yitzia from this room. And whenever these a yitzia, so there's no chova, there's no chiv of mezuzah on yitzia. And backtracking, al korcha, is called yitzia. Because if it was not, then every room that we would have, we would put two mezuzahs, one for the knisa here, one for the knisa there. Al korcha, we don't do such a thing. Even though there is Rav Yaakov Emden, in one place, writes that if it's a safek, which way did the mezuzah go, maybe you should put two mezuzahs, but we don't do such things. It's awkward, and we don't do it. And it's not something you should ever do, to put two mezuzahs on one door. Meaning, if you put two mezuzahs on the same side, then you violate Baal Tosef. If you don't put it on the same side, then according to 99.9% of the Achronim, you don't violate Baal Tosef. There's a one Maram Shik that seems to say otherwise, but because Mamanavshah, one is right and one is wrong. Just like it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's also to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. Most of us don't do that. Right? We have one pair of tefillin. Because if you wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, you violate Baal Tosef. Unless the Shulchan Aruch says that one is Rashi, one is Rabbeinu Tam. So then, Maman Shach, one of them is Pasul. So technically, if I'm not sure which should be the right way to put it, so I want to come this way, that way, I'm not sure, so I put one here. So, according to 99.9% of the Achronim, it's not Baal Tosef. It's just a stus to do such a thing. I mean, I shouldn't speak so harshly, but there is one Achron said it, but it's not such a thing. But if you put it on the same side, two mezuzahs, that's Baal Tosef, unless one of them is possible. You know, a couple of years ago, Rabbi Rekefet. Rekefet, you know Rabbi Rekefet. That I don't have to tell you. From Gruss, was here for a couple of days. You know, he's always a very interesting personality to schmooze with. Those that go to Gruss, went to Gruss, know him quite well. His best book, by the way, is The Silver Era. Okay, you should read that. Rav Lazer, it's all about Rav Lazer Silver. Those that went to Kerbi Avner, Rav Aaron Silver is his grandson. He was a colorful doddle in Cincinnati. Lazer Silver. He was a big guy. You know, we're talking about like the caliber of what you would call Rav Moshe Feinstein and that, you know, that caliber. Oh. So he told me Rabbi Rekefet, he said, you should look in the Igros Moshe. There's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe to me. I said, yeah? Well, you have to know one thing, that, you know, when he was in America, his name was Rothkopf. Rekefet is a, you know, when people go to Israel, they become very, they change their names to, you know, like Jack Anak. He's now Yaakov Nagin. You know, different people have, Avir Deretz Yisrael is somehow changes people's name to the Bray size. He says he was living in the Bronx. Right? He grew up with Rabbi Schechter in the Bronx. He's living in the Bronx. So I'm sure you've all seen this. You've all seen this. See this sight. You go into a house and you see there on the side, there's this little mezuzah there. This mezuzah was probably painted over like 10 coats of paint. You know, you've seen that site. You know, there's little mezuzah there. Who knows what's there? So Rabbi Rekefer wanted to, you know, he doesn't know. Who knows when that mezuzah was bought 105 years ago? And with all the paint and all the thing that was put there, who knows what's there? So he wants to get a nice new mezuzah. But it's such a pain in the neck to have to unearth. So why doesn't he just put up that mezuzah and he'll have kavana to mevatel the previous mezuzah? And could he do that? Or does he have to, you know, whatever tircha takes to take that other mezuzah out there, we'll have to hire somebody or whatever and chisel away until you extricate that mezuzah from the tohim. So Rav Moshe wrote him a tshuva, and he quotes the sugya in Menachas of Ehitil Mutelis, which is a shaila whether you put extra tzitzis. Say you have a beged with tzitzis, and now you want to put another set on the tzitzis. So there's a whole sugya there about being mevatel. You know, you have kavara lahosif or levatel, whatever it is. So the acharei kachlos hakol, you see the tshuva that Moshe writes that according to most shitas in that sugya, if you put an extra tzitzis, that's on the corner of the bag, that you have two sets of tzitzis from the same corner coming out, that is baltos. So he said the same thing by mezuzah. So he wrote him the tshuva that he should take out the mezuzah, not put up another mezuzah until he takes off this one, and that was the story. Yeah.
Rebbe was talking about how you can't put two mezuzahs. So what do you do if it's mamish, not nicker? What if you have a door that's completely equally used in both directions? Like, I was thinking of Marshall, like, you know, in these hotel rooms, they have the doors in between the two rooms sometimes if you own both rooms?
Yeah.
So people are equally going from the one room to the other. There's
right. So there's a question of what's called Knesa. Right? What's called Knesa, what's called Yetzia. So, so one of the klolim is cheder pnimi and cheder chitzon, because I cannot get into this room only going through the hallway. So this is called a cheder pnimi, and the hallway is a cheder chitzon. So mamela, the pnimi is always called the knisa to the pnimi, right? But if there's, you can get through it either way, because there's an opening on the other side, right? So then there's a question whether you follow, how do you define what's, see, this room is pretty posh. This is the Knesa. Except if this would be a Lubavitcher yeshiva, which it's not. You know, even though we have, okay. So I'm not an anti-Chabad person, so I'm not here to, you should know, when I was a young fellow, I said I have to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. So I spent Shabbos with him. I said, because the whole world is traveling to see the Rebbe. I live a 10-minute car ride away. I shouldn't spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. I was also a curious person, you know. So I spent Shabbos in Crown Heights with the Rebbe. I mean, with the Rebbe. With the community, down with the Rebbe. The Rebbe was an interesting man. So Chabad, you see, he just walked out. So Chabad Shita is that whichever way the door opens, that's called the Knesa. That's called the Knesa. So in a Chabad, if this would be a Chabad institution, the mezuzah would be going on the other side, going out into the hallway. That's called, in Chazal, that's called Heker Tzir, which is Man Chazal, that meant that there was a hole in the ground and there was a rod coming, you know, a vertical rod coming out of the hole, and then the door would, so which room the hole was in, you know, a hole like like it looks like a hole, you know, we play miniature golf, you know, we play regular golf, you know, I'm not on that darga. So whichever room the hole would be in, that's the panimi. So we don't really have those type of doors. So in modern day equivalent is which way the door opens. So therefore so for most poskim, that's the tiebreaker, the chehekitzia. That's the tiebreaker. In other words, if you don't know which is, you know, some people say if you don't know, then you follow which room is more chashuv, used more often. And some say no, the flow of traffic is the most important thing. I follow the halacha, the shita, that the flow of traffic is the most important. Because that's what Rav Goodman said to me, because the whole chiyuv of mezuzah is there biyoscha, that creates the chiyuv. So the flow of traffic would be the, and some people claim that the which room is used more often. And then if you can't tell that, so then you go bust with the heketziah. But Chabad, Mina Chabad is the heketziah, they bump that to the top. That's the, except for the outer door. There was, even for the outer door, even if it'll open out, they'll put the mezuzah going in, because that they can't, say that that's the, you can't view it in any different way, the outer door. Because they asked the Rebbe, how could you say that a room like this, how could you call this the, you know, the Knesset, the Chorutz Yitzia? So his teretz was, the, I guess it's a Rebbe's teretz. And that is, you can come, theoretically you can come in through the window. So even though that's not what we do. And but since in theory there's that possibility, so that. But so the most of Chabad, you'll go, you'll see, that's what they do. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has this tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a lot of interesting tshuvas. Rav Moshe was a very creative thinker, Rav Moshe. And he didn't have so many svarim. So everything, all those svaras he thought on his own. Both creativity and, like Rav Kahn once said, his creativity. Lomdus, this, all his... It was, you know, he was mechave into things on his own. He didn't have svarim. He just had a shas and a rambam and a tour and a shulchan aruch and nothing more, too much than that. So he says that, say you have, there's no heketzir because it's one of these sliding doors, so you can't, so, and everything else is equal. So he writes a tshuva, Potter min ha-mezuzah. Because he learns, there's a lot of lumdus in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe learns that the chiyuv mechayev mezuzah is what? Is the knisa. So if it's not a knisa hanikeres, then there's no chiyuv. If it's not a knisa hanikeres, there's no chiyuv. That was his thing. Rav Shechter says over that he heard from Rav Belsky, that's all, that that Lamaisa, when these shilas would come up, Rabelsky's experience with these shilas with Ramosha, when there was no Hecker Tzir and there was an even Stephen, Ramosha would say, "So what did you do?" And they would say, "Oh, we did this." So okay, leave it that way. It was, because Meger then he held it was really Potter, and he just, you know, whatever you do is good because it's really putter anyway, you know. And he also has a tshuva where that if you put a mezuzah on a makom that's putter, you don't violate Baal Tosif either, so you have nothing really to lose. According to it's not in the Valentine. It's not in the Valentine. No. If you want to have a packet online, you can see where it came from. You know. the Rayatz did, and they had a whole thing of, I don't know if the Rayatz was the first one, or that the Rebbe's father was. He already had it, but it's nowhere, I don't, to my field, nowhere in the Tanya does it say like that. I once spoke to Rav Yehuda Marlow about this. He was the Borah Horah on Crown Heights, and he said, "Yeah, Pashas is against the poskim, but this is the minute." That's what he said. So Chabad had a lot of big Moreh Horah. Rav Dworkin, that was the big Moreh Horah in Chabad. And then he was Nifter several years ago in the Mikra. But a lot of the things of Chabad don't necessarily always go back to the Baal HaTanya. Like the famous Chabad Mikvah. Is not from the Shechta says from the Baal HaTanya, but it's really not from the Baal HaTanya. It's from the Rashab. He was the one who was Mechadesh that mikvah. You know, Bor, invite me back. I always tell Rabbi Orlin, he has to invite me back for the date line, because one of these years will invite me for the date line. We'll discuss. Okay. There's another shaila about the merpeset shaila. In other words, if you have a balcony, like on the Lower East Side, my in-laws are from the Lower East Side, so they live in those buildings where Moshe lived, and they have every floor has a balcony. So the shaila is whether you put a, what's the story with the mezuzah on a balcony? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, based on the Taz and Mariel, that he put it going out onto the balcony, which I like intuitively because I'm a very big person who believes in Derech Hinuch, and I'm not into Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You know, because I told you that I'm very against the backtracking idea. Even though Rabbi Akiva Eiger himself writes that you view the closet like Avir, but the Maisa, like someone said, like a Konigsberg said, it's not the Avir. So it's backtracking. So I'm very into this, into going into the, if it's, you know, assuming it's Dalet al Dalet, or at least according to some sheet is Dalet al Dalet, so then you put it going out from the house onto the, and the Chazon Ish was into putting it going in. Well, that works in well, because the Chazon Ish was a Rabbi Akiva Eiger person. And so the backtracking thing, he somehow, maybe the same as Chesed Lavram. If you want to see it, maybe we'll get the article. I wrote this all up in an article from the Beit Yitzchak. But maybe you sent it out. Well, you see, you press a button, and it's already there. So the Chazon Ish was into Rabbi's also into going in, but so those that are follow that sheet, they will put them as going in. Was they hold that the chiyuv, like the shepherd's plate of the Chazon Ish, that the chiyuv of the merpeset is only because it's nitpal to the rest of the house, and therefore it's you know, there was when I first came to YU, there was no security here. Everyone called Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Anyone can walk in any building you want at any time. Everybody who is not 100% or not even 50% can walk in the buildings here. And I remember sure you know those in the Rav Shachtish, you probably know Dr. Alan Weissman. So so he was once mugged on 186th Street, on the entrance of the old building on 186th Street, that side entrance. So he was mugged over there. So, and then there were other incidents. That wasn't, so they decided one day they should have security. So now they have security. So when they were making that doorway on 186th Street, in the recent past, when Moshe Kosporsky was involved in the mezuzah thing here, so they were going to make it only an exit. So it was purple from inside to come out that door, but they didn't want people to come. They didn't want people to come in from the street. And I think that's the way it is now. They shouldn't come into the street. So that's just an exit. So the shaila is, when something is just an exit, what's the story? Something's just an exit. So there are three approaches to the three possibilities what you can do with an exit. One approach, this Rav Avadi holds, is saying it's potter, because it's not a knisa, it's only a yitzia. Shoyt, potter. The other approach, the Shechter once mentioned, is to put it going in, even though that's not the chiyuv, but. And the other approach is to just put it going out. Rav Moshe Feinstein claimed that that's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger was saying in the famous Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He wasn't saying this whole thing about, he was just saying that there's a chovah even when you're going out of a room. And therefore, and he says that, and he thought that was part of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Moshe Tosin pointed this out to me, and then he says, but you can't say such a thing. So usually we say either it's putter or it should, like Rav Avadi, or put it going in like Rav Shechter. Going out is a very bishul shver to say that they put a mezuzah just going out into the. In other words, going out into a merpeset so it has walls around it, so you consider that a bias. But just going out into the yonder, they put a mezuzah, so it's a shver zach. Two places I've seen this going out. In Shver, the two places I've seen it is in Tower 41. Everyone has a grandmother in Tower 41, you know, in Florida, even though it's in the Zika zone now. So it's, in Tower 41, they have an entrance and an exit. So the entrance is going in, and the exit is going out. So if you can't make it to Tower 41, and you happen to be around Stern College, so in the. You're engaged already, so those that are not, so you want to be around Stern College, so they have it like that. Going in, they have a mezuzah going in. Going out, they have a mezuzah going out. So 186th Street, one second, so back to 186th Street. So I was following the shita that exits, like everybody said, that don't need a mezuzah. But then they did it that sometimes people do go in. So then I told Moshe Kosporsky to put a mezuzah there, going in.
Would that look like the staircase patio? Would that?
You mean as a beis shar?
Yeah.
I don't know the style of it. You know, Dalala. But I told you, in the old days, when Dr. Weissman was mugged there several years, so that was before. So then everyone could go in and out. It was a free-for-all there. But now that in the special recent years, they didn't want people to go. So, but now they have some guards or something go in sometimes. So and so I told them to put a mezuzah going in. I don't like the idea of putting a mezuzah. Either I could hear putting no mezuzah at all, or mezuzah going in. Mezuzah going out into the street, that I'm not so, even though there are maybe some rabbanim who held that way, whoever put out those mezuzahs, there could be some, but I'm not so comfortable with that shita. So either don't put it at all, which originally we had like that, no mezuzah was just an exit, or put it going in. Yeah.
If according to Rabbani Shita, if it was both ways and then the rule was changed, the whole thing may get go out, and then and Mamish no one ever went in that way, would you take the mezuzah off or
these things are complicated because you know it could be someone will go in, you know what I mean? It's hard to to break a chiyuv is much harder than to create the chiyuv in the first place.
Would there be a problem leaving it on?
I told you, as I told you, to put a mezuzah when there's no chiyuv is not, it's just a silly thing. I mean, that's why I said this on day one when they opened up the block based medrash. Let's talk about the side of the block based medrash near the bathroom, that doorway. So, that doorway has a mezuzah in the middle of a wall. Because basically the wall continues and there's glass, those glass doors. That's modern, glass doors. But everything's glass. It's, everyone wants everything glass. I happen to like the bricks and this, but the modern, that's what they did to the library. They took the bricks away, they put glass. So the glass is the wall, the modern approach. So that glass doors, it doesn't have any Tzuras HaPesach. It's just blossos. So they have a mezuzah where the door is, in the middle of the wall. I don't know. Some say there was no mezuzah there, really. I don't know. But I don't know. So that's a little. So I don't think there's any chiyuv, according to any opinion. Rav Getzel Berkowitz, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's a big one of the biggest Gaonim in America today. He's the Dayan Kiryas Yoel in Monroe. So he wrote a sefer called Eglei Dvash, and he has a discussion. In Hilchas Erevin, go and learn Erevin. So in Hilchas Erevin, there's a din. What's the din? That you need, if you have a pirksa, there's an opening in the wall, so that passes the wall. You have the omid rubal aparts. So you can put a tzuras ha-pesach, and that'll mustak in there. Or you could have glossos. And glossos, you can put glossos, and glossos, the Gemara says, works even for a shusarabim. If the glossos nulos balaiwa, which is not so practical in this day and age. So a delis is a din of a mechitza plus. But the chiddush of a delis is that even when the delis is open, it has a din mechitza. When the delis is closed, so like you go into these public schools that have the big yard, with the barbed wire fence. They have a opening, so sometimes it could be a big opening. It could be a pirtz of more than 10 amos, but if the delis is closed, then it's a mechitza. So the question is, what's the deal when the delis is open? So Pasha says, when the delis is opened, it's not a lot. It's nothing. It's out here. So there's a big machloikis. Who's the machloikis between? Well, we'll say like this. The Radziner, the Bala Tchelis, the Radziner Tchelis. So the Radziner wrote a sefer on Tchelis, and in the same sefer on Tchelis, he wrote about the losses. That was his thing, Tchelis and the losses. And he's Mechadish, and the Avnei Nezer subscribes to his chiddush that a delis is a din of mechitza, even when it's open. As long as you're going to shut it at night, it has a din of a mechitza, even when it's open. And that works even in Rosh Hashanah, if it's nulos balayla. Machlokas, whether it's nulos balayla or rois lindo balayla. Machlokas, and that's what the Avnei Nezer says. And Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Sif told me that the Rav Oshri, who was the Mimamakim, who was a Rav on the Lower East Side, he told him, if you don't rely on this Avnei Nezer, then in Europe, a lot of places, the Erevin wouldn't be good, because they relied on glossos that were Nulus, Arus, Lino, Balayla. And so the Chazon Ish, again, this is, Chazon Ish was a big, Chazon Ish was an independent, you know. Chazon Ish was a nistar, I told you before. He learned by, that's why Rav Henkin was thought that certain psalkim, maybe if he would have learned with some other people, I don't know. Chazon Ish was a Chazon Ish, so he can't, you know, we're not here to say anything, you know. But Chazon Ish sometimes said things that other people didn't say, like what he said about the they don't even know he claims that that's what the Rishonim said, but not everyone accepted that. But he says like this, that Adelis, if it doesn't have a Tzuras HaPesach, that's nothing. Because you need your Mechitza. So if the door's open, Ribbono Shel Olam, so you have nothing. So what's the Pshat in Adelis? Chazon Ish says, Pshat in Adelis is you have a Tzuras HaPesach, but you have a Bekiyas Rabin. So if you have Adelis Nulus Malayla, that's Mavatel the Bekiyas Rabim. So that's your Mechitza when it's open, the Tzuras HaPesach. But the Adelis preserves the Tzuras HaPesach. But if you don't have the Tzuras HaPesach and the Adelis is open, you have nothing. So that's why the Chazon Ish, you never find this in the Chazon Ish. You know, the Chazon Ish has a table of contents in the beginning of the Sefer. So the table of contents is just, usually he doesn't make comments. He just says, this halacha, that halacha. And this thing, this is the only time I ever saw this in the Chazon Ish. In the table of contents, he writes, ma'od ma'od li zoher, that every delis needs to have, what? A Tzuras HaPesach. And if there's no Tzuras HaPesach, you have nothing. Because, again, when it's closed, okay, it's closed. But when it's open, and the most of the, you know, like, you can have a Dallas in a community, and then the day, and yeah, by Yom, it's going to be open, and, but there's no Tzuras HaPesach, so you have nothing. So the Radzin and Avnei Nezer said, no, the fact that the Dallas is there, even B'shas, that it's open, is considered a Mechitza. The question is, who's the Almila Haviraya here? It's an interesting discussion. You know, who's the Pashtus and who's the not Pashtus. But that was that's a very fundamental machlokas. You see, in certain communities, they can't put up a Tzuras HaPesach for legal reasons or that. So they make, this is Rabbi Ralbag in Brooklyn, he made in Amsterdam, he made losses. So you know what his losses is like? You know what it reminds me of? It's like an accordion. Whereas, basically, you have your accordion on one side of the street, and then theoretically you could pull it out to the other side. You know, bigger. I mean, he did it with Lovett strings. Pull it out to the other string, and that's how he made the air in Amsterdam. Assuming not like the Chazon Ish, because you didn't have the whole point was you didn't have a Tzuras HaPesach, so they would. So getting back to this thing, so Rav Getzel Berkowitz writes in the Eglei Dvash, he says we have a machlokes in Erevin by whether, you know, if you have a delis below Tzuras HaPesach, whether that's a good mechitza. He says that's in Erevin you have such a thing, maybe it's a mechitza, but for mezuzah lo matzino that there's any shita that's going to be mechayev a delis Blitzurus of Pesach. So that's what basically the Gluck thing, or at least by the bath, the sign by the bathroom, is Adelis Blitzurus of Pesach. So there's no Chiv of Mezuzah according to any of the Alpi Pashas. A Kamo Pligi only by the Shabbos.
What exactly is the definition of
Tzoros HaPesach? Tzoros HaPesach, Kon HaMikan, and the Kon Al Gabayim.
Kon HaMikan, Kon Al Gabayim.
Is there a
minimum shear of each
Kona? Well, Masha. Has to be 10 fucking high. Now, I'll tell you. Let me tell you something.
What does that mean, Masha? This can be like...
No. It has to be, no, there's the thickness. Okay? What we call in modern Hebrew an Erev. Oh, so I'll tell you something else. I published this in my safe in Erev, because I don't think it's published anyplace else, this idea. Just it should go down for, even though we don't usually follow this psak that I'm going to tell you now, but I verified, so it should be recorded someplace of this psak, and then it's like this, that what if you walk into your living room and your parents' home in Teaneck, wherever it is, a lot of times you have an archway, but it doesn't have a molding like this. Separate, but it has a Tzuras HaPesach, but not a separate molding. So there's a Ritva. An Erevin, that seems to say that a Tzuras HaPesach has to have a molding. Even though Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his Sefer on Mezuzah, Chaim Kanievsky wrote, you know, in Masechtas Ketanos, Meseches Mezuzah, Meseches Kuftim, Meseches Avodim, you know, he wrote Perish. So he has interesting things. So he learns Pshat that the Ritva, he doesn't think the Ritva really meant that. The Ritva just means it has to be Niker. But if you're a purist, and you say, no, it has to be, and maybe that's Pshat the Rambam, but the Rambam says, the, you know, that's not enough that the wall comes to, makes... you know, you have a drop in the ceiling and there's a... but you need the actual... So Rabbi Ganach told me, and he's a big Rav Soloveitchik person, that Rav Soloveitchik in his own home, and no one of us would do this, he didn't put up mezuzahs unless there was a molding. So we don't do that. That's not... we hold that that whenever there's a doorway, even though there's no molding, so he's a purist. You know, there are a lot of different purists in the world. So he's a, you know, so I recorded that in the my Sefer Erevin. It's a Sefer Erevin, but the Erevin and Mezuzah have some overlap. So that that was his hanhaga, that that you needed dafka a separate piece to make a kona mikan, and it wasn't sufficient just to have. But the others, minhag olam is not that way. Minhag olam, in other words, we don't make a bracha unless there's a door, because the Rambam shita is that you need a door. If you don't have a door, you're not chayav in mezuzah. That's the Rambam shita. So we don't follow the Rambam. We put it. But we, in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha. That's what Shach says. We don't make a bracha unless there's a door. So so even in those cases in your parents' living room where there's this archway going in, there's usually not a door to an archway. I remember as a little kid, I grew up in Brighton Beach. That's where I grew up as a little kid. And then we moved to Flatbush. in 1969, we moved to Flatbush. So Brighton Beach was a smaller place, and Flatbush was a bigger place. So I remember, so we were going into the dining room, the house, because it had two doors by the dining room. So my parents were stopping, we really need these doors, So I was a little kid. And so I said to my parents, if we don't have these doors, how are we going to have a surprise party without the doors? That was as a little kid. Now, as an older person, I'll say, without the doors, you don't have a chiyuv mezuzah, according to the Rambam, and you can't make a bracha even if you don't know the Rambam. So we died, and so we've al hayom hazeh, they still have those doors. Because I insisted as a little kid that we need the doors because we need the surprise party. So I don't know if we ever had a surprise party, but in theory, we could have the doors. So, but that's the Rambam Shita. So that's why you go into the apartments in Washington Heights. So you go in the front door. So it's not Dalal Dalal, it's on Beis Shaar. So that's, then all these living rooms, there's no doors, you know. So and the bedroom is usually the only, and we're not choshish for the Maril. There's a Maril that says what? That a bedroom, we don't follow this. But there is a sheet of quoted in the poskim that we don't usually don't follow in the Maril, that if it's a married couple lives in a, so a married couple cohabits together, so therefore there shouldn't be a mezuzah in their room either. So we don't follow that sheet. We put up mezuzahs, and we don't even follow that sheet not to make a bracha. We put it in. There's a discussion in the poskim, you know, most married couples, so when they shut the door, the mezuzah is on the outside. Because the question is whether you're not allowed to be mishamish in front of Sfarim, in front of Kisvei HaKodesh, etc. Unless you have a double covering. So most cases, in you shut the door and the mezuzah will be on the other side, and you have the wall is a mechitza. So it's okay, but what if sometimes you have married couples in their house, they can have another tzuras hapesach within the room, where they have, you know, not in Washington Heights so much, but some married couples in some communities, they have closets that are dalad al dalad without any chamude deniel and without any, and it's a real chova. So it can, you know, so then the question becomes, it being mishamish in front of the mezuzah. So the mice, so we're choshish. The Orach HaShulchan says he doesn't think there's any issur being mishamish in front of mezuzah, because HaKocha, the Torah is mechayev in a mezuzah, and the Torah realizes that a married couple is going to live a married life together. So that's not considered a that's the Orach HaShulchan's approach. There's no issur. And others say no. Others say that that you need so some poskim, as Rav Gutman pointed out, say you can put two kisuyim there, it's good. Some say no, two kisuyim is not good if this is made as miyuchad l'kach. So some say that it's nikba mekosel, it's considered reshus b'fnei atzmo. In most cases, it works out not to be a problem, because in most scenarios, you know, the door closes and the mezuzah is on the outside, so we're all good. But there are situations where it comes. So Rav Gutman told me you can rely on the shita that if you mechave, I think in the Chayyadim, Chachmasadim, that if Chachmasadim, I believe he said. Mistaken. If you put two kisuyim l'shem kach, with kavana that it should be half stick, then they take two pieces of aluminum foil or whatever, or maybe, and put it over the thing, and then, but, you know, to get every sheet in, but the Aruch HaShulchan was just says, I'll be pashtus, that it doesn't, that, you know, the Torah is mechayev this, and it was mechayev this, so Al Korcha, this is not mechlal, the, that we mishamish in front of mezuzah is not an issue in this, yeah.
In our mezuzahs, we have the cloth, and then we have the covering.
Yeah.
Is that called one?
Yeah, it could be one, but see, on pipashtus, you need one that's not there, you know, normally.
Right, so you just need to cover it once.
Once, yeah, pashtus, yeah. But just as an extra heater. But you're right. That's why some say, I think the Stipler had this, that they would put a nail in the thing and then hang a shirt over the mezuzah. That's, it says the Orchas Rabbeinu, maybe that's what the Stipler did. Then you can forget to put the shirt there. It's a little bit awkward, you know, if somebody realizes it, whatever. So there are still different Tzirufim Lahakel on that Shaila.
If it's outside, then you have
the doors, the machitza. So that's a different rishus. Then for sure, it's it wouldn't be an issue. I look here. It says in Reish Pei Vav Yud, Beis Medrash Potter Mei Mezuzah. What's the story? Beis Medrash, Beis Knesses. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that it's potter, unless there's someone who lives there. Right? Bizman Chazal, it was a different situation. You know, people lived in the shul. You know, there was the chazan. You know, I grew up in the days, you didn't grow up in these days, when every shul had a Shabbos. That's not a thing for this generation. But every shul had the Rav of the shul, the chazan, and the shamus. So in the old days in Europe, the shamus lived in the shul. The shamus was usually in America it was, you know, it was, I think in the Art School book of quotes, that Rav Moshe Feinstein came to America. Usually it was a European person, the shamus, who didn't speak so much English, so he wasn't going to be the rabbi of the shul because he hardly could speak English. But he was usually a Talmud Chacham, and sometimes a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Rav of the Shul. And he was the Shamus of the Shul. I mean, there was a Shamus of the Shul. That's what I think the Art School puts out. Moshe Feinstein, when he came to America, the only thing he expected to be was the Shamus of the Shul. That's all he expected. You know, European Rav, who's going to appreciate me? In America, history had it differently, but... Rav Yonatan Steif, you know Rav Yonatan Steif? That's another name you should know. Rav Yonatan Steif was a big rav in Williamsburg. He was from Europe and was Adas Yireim. So he also had this attitude. He was only, but the Baal Batim, he won't give me a shamus in a shul, but the Baal Batim who knew him from Europe made a shul just for him that it shouldn't be a bizayin with such a Gadol B'Torah just to be the Shabbos of the shul. But in those days, the people lived in the shul. That's what the Gemara says. You make Kiddush in the shul for the people who live in the shul. In fact, the Beis Yosef writes, one of the reasons why you light Neiris Chanukah in the shul is because the Orchim. It's not like today. You invite somebody to your house for Shabbos, so you don't leave him in shul. You take him home with you. And you know, if you leave him in shul, he wouldn't come back next time. But that's what the Orchim were. They were passerbyers, and they would stay in the shul, they would eat in the shul. So then the shul would have a real chova, where there was someone kavu in the shul who would stay in the shul and live there. Today, in most shuls, maybe one or two shuls still have some people living, it has to be Jewish, obviously, living in the shul. So then there's a question about what's the story of the of having a mezuzah in a shul b'zman hazeh. And remind me next time, we should start with the story from Purim from several years ago, where Rav Goldwicht and Rav Goldwicht and Purim, besides the Rav Moshe Feinstein once said, this Ephraim Greenblatt told me when I was in Memphis once for the Shabbos by Steve Weil's offer. He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that no one, if you weren't by the Satmar Rebbe on Purim, you don't know what Simchas Purim is. So I say, if you're not by Rav Goldwicht's house on Purim, you don't know what, by his Suda, you don't know what Simchas Purim is. So you should invite yourself. I mean, it's basically Rosh Hashanah Rabbin on Purim, so you should stop in. But usually on the Purim night, he has a whole hanhaga of, he has a thing in his house, and then they go as a whole team to the chagiga. So one year on the way to the chagiga, I live in the same building with Rav Goldwicht, he decided that he's going to be koveya a mezuzah on our front door. Our front door doesn't have a mezuzah. We'll explain maybe. So remind me to explain me why we don't have a front mezuzah on our front door. 475 West 26th Street, there's no mezuzah there. And Rav Goldwicht was a koveya a mezuzah that lasted maybe a day or two. And then I found it by the mailbox a day or two later. And what's that all about? And then we have to talk about also the height of the mezuzah also. So you remind me. So Be'ez Hashem, we could say Rav Arieli, I think maybe he's here or not here. We should have Mincha here. And next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue these inyanim. So we'll take a 2-minute break and we'll daven in the Mincha.
If anybody has
the
hard copy, you can give it to me.